Okay, I want to introduce you to an awesome, awesome lady. This is Pastor Caroline Webb. This is Ayanda and Abby's mom. And isn't she incredible? Whenever you see this lady, she is always smiling. And today when she shared this, you know what? She shared it in love. And that's why we can take what she says, because it's done in love. Okay, can we just pray for her quickly? Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Pastor Caroline, Lord. Thank you for her love for children and her love for us, Lord. I pray that whatever she says, Lord, will help us to grow. Father, if we've done anything that hasn't brought you glory, Lord, thank you. We thank you that you will forgive us and you're quick to forgive us, Lord. And I thank you for Caroline, Lord, who has such wisdom, Lord, and will be able to impart it unto us, Father. Father, just bless her as she is going to bless us. We pray this in your precious name, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, ladies. Have you ever been called ladies? Hopefully. Great. I'm glad to hear that. Well, we're going to start with a video clip. Have any of you ever played Capture the Flag? Here you go. Try this one. Wonderful. So you've been, you just did five big topics. We're working on these 5 weeks. Last week was number three, and it was spiritual error. We're going to quickly whip through about what you learned about spiritual error. Spiritual error is when you think wrongly, then you believe wrongly, then you act wrongly. That's the basics on that. And it happens in different areas, in secular philosophies, in false religions, in cults and the occult, in worshiping idols, and in unbiblical covenants. You guys spent a lot of time on that. What are the ways to prevent spiritual error? Read your Bible. Uh-oh, did I go too fast? Read your Bible. I want to stop right there for a minute. Why is it so important that you read your Bible? I'm not going to make you answer that, but I'm going to tell you. If you're a builder and you want to be a wise builder and build well, you will have to know, you would know what a plumb line is. A plumb line is when you hammer a nail in on a wall and you tie a rope to it with a weight at the bottom, but you don't let it touch the ground. And where that rope falls is called a plumb line. It's absolutely straight. It's completely perpendicular to the ground. You can build a straight wall or a correct building by using a plumb line. It's the same thing by living your life well. You will not know, if you don't know the truth, if you don't know God's truth, then how will you know? It's errors. If you know the truth, then you know what's right and what's wrong, because the Bible is the truth. It is our plumb line. So you must get to know the Lord more and hear his voice and learn to develop and cultivate that relationship with him. Listen to leaders. Listen to people that are older and wiser in the Lord than you are. The word, the Bible, exposes error, and so will wise leaders, and help you to live by a newer standard of love. This week, our mission, our exploit to deal with, is victory over sexual sins. We live in a sexual minefield. There, the enemy and things are all around. There are all kinds of mines and bombs and explosives in this world, and you need to know how to walk, how to navigate, how to get through them. Some of those mind bombs are sexting. It's explicit talk or very sexual talk over the cell phone, to social media, to friends. It's very revealing talk. It's things you really wouldn't even say if you were in person. But it's exposing yourself or others to one another in a sexual manner. It's sharing explicit images. You're sharing those images, one to another, to a guy. To do what? These are the sexual things of this society. It's watching pornography on your cell phone, on your computer, pretty much anywhere, in the comfort of your home, in the privacy of your bedroom. You can watch pornography, people having sex, What is the big deal? What is it anyway? How does it happen? A big one that I wanted us to talk about today, and a big explosive in young girls' lives, at least it was in my life when I was 15, 14, and 16, was masturbation. Masturbation is sexually satisfying yourself. You do it. You manipulate or stimulate yourself until you have masturbated, until you have an orgasm. And that's what you do. It's a bad habit. It's something that will never be satisfied. It will never go away. It only creates a deeper lust in your life, a deeper appetite for sexual things. And once you're married, it robs the marriage bed. Masturbation is something I struggled with as a teenager, and I had to ask God to really help me to get through that, and I'll share you with that a little bit about that a little bit later. Masturbation. The next one is flirting. Another explosive is flirting. The power that we as women, as young ladies, have in flirting or luring or attracting a man by the way you act, by the words you say, by the way you dressed. It's a powerful, powerful tool. It's a powerful thing. And if you're not married, which none of you are, you won't know the power that God put in men with the visual impact. The way you look really impacts them. Flirting can be very luring. Fantasizing, it's letting yourself go and to imagine situations and relationships and intimacy. If you're into pornography, then you will imagine nudity and having sex with someone. Fantasizing is what happens when you masturbate. And why is masturbation not in the Bible? It's not a sin. It's not a sin listed in the Bible, but I would tell you it is a sin. And the reason why is you can't masturbate unless you fantasize. If you fantasize, you're not thinking about, oh, what am I going to do today? And what's how pretty the walls are and what's happening? What am I going to do next? No, you fantasize about a sexual thing and then you masturbate. That's why fantasizing is wrong. Lesbianism, it's another lie that the devil throws. It's another explosive, another mine. That I wasn't attracted to men. I'm attracted to women. It's another lie that the enemy throws at us, but it's not the truth. We're all made in God's image, and he made us to have a desire for a heterosexual relationship, a man and woman relationship. Premarital sex. Ah, everybody's doing it. Surely it's okay. I mean, it's talked about. It's on the streets. It's in the advertisements. It's all around us. Everyone's having premarital sex. Oh, come on. What's the big deal? But of course, there is a big deal because it's a lie from the enemy. It's a lure. It's a trap, and it's explosive. It's a mine we must learn to navigate as Christians. Mm-hmm. Abortion. Once you've had premarital sex, and you never told anyone, and now you're pregnant. And what are you going to do with that? There's another lie if you continue down the road of hiding and running from God. Another lie is that, oh, it's not a baby yet. I can just kill it. I can just have an abortion. It's really not a baby till it's born. At 10 weeks, it has fingernails. 10 weeks, that's about the time you figure it out. The baby in your womb has fingernails, okay? Has a fingerprint. Abortion is something, it's a lie from the enemy that says, I'll just get rid of it and then it'll be gone. No one will find out. But the thing is every year about the time of that child's birth, that mother goes through regret and depression and anger and guilt and shame, because she's done yet another thing and killing a baby. You see another baby and you wonder, what was my baby going to be like? Abortion is a mine is a bomb from the devil to rob and steal and kill and destroy. That's his plan. But why are we vulnerable to attack? Why are these things so easy to get us? Why are they so tempting? There are several reasons. A need for love. God created us with a capacity to love, a desire to love, to be loved. And if we don't get our love tanks filled in our families, in our relationships, in our friendships, and in our parents, and in our grandparents, and our aunts and uncles, and all those wonderful places, then we go looking elsewhere. And the most likely place teenagers go looking is with the opposite sex. Oh, I need a boyfriend. Oh, he's the one I need. I need love. I need him. And he will love me. There are passions and affections. Why did God make me with so many strong desires and passions and affections? Surely I'm to live these out. Anything I want, there's peer pressure. Oh, everybody's doing it. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. What's the big deal? There's pressure from all sides, every front. There's loneliness. Why am I alone? I need someone. I need love. I'm lonely. Another tool of the enemy. There's the media and all of its influences bombarding you every day, everywhere. And then there's evil desires. God puts desires in our heart. He puts godly desires. But there's also evil desires and temptations. And those are some of the reasons. We do not have to be slaves to sin and lust. Did you know that? We do not have to be. Good job. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know you're not alone? The devil would say, and the world would say, ah, you're alone. Just go do it. You're all by yourself. No one really cares. I feel so horribly. You know, I can look at other places. But Christ's word and the Bible and the standard for our lives says that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. There are 8 keys to victory. Number 1, it is make boundaries. Do you know some of you are going to be learning to drive soon? There's a guideline. There's rule book. There are boundaries. A safe place to be on the road, an unsafe place. Safe speeds, not safe speeds. Guardrails, boundaries. Everything has a standard, a rule book. We have to make good boundaries. Avoid immoral situations. You spent enough time in the past doing what unbelievers like to do. You were promiscuous, sleeping around, had sinful desires, got drunk, and went to wild parties. Can you believe that 1 Peter, this is in the Bible, I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. Well, they'll use a little different words, debauchery and things like that, but this is a current day translation. Wild parties, drunkenness, sleeping around, promiscuous, these are the things we face in this generation every day. These are the things. You need to be careful what you watch, where you allow yourself to go. What is the influence of being in a place like that, being in a club? Some parties are not good parties. Some parties are to create an appetite for the worldly things. You must be careful what movies you allow yourself to watch, what you look at on the internet, what you read in the books. Okay? Have godly relationships. What are godly relationships? Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity. You're to have godly relationships, godly friends. You're to have friends with non-believers as well. But there's certain boundaries to those relationships. You don't go with anybody and hop into anybody's car. Okay? You don't, you're careful to pick friends that are going to encourage you. Other girls encourage you. These are your sisters. Actually, I'm your sister too. In God's eyes, we are all sisters. All the girls are sisters, and all the ones over there in that other room, the boys, those are your brothers. Those of you have brothers? Any of you have brothers? That's right. How do you treat your brothers? That's the way you're to treat them. Every one of them are your brothers, and you're to treat them as your brothers until God shows you differently something else. Be careful who you pick your friends to be. We want you to have lots of fun, and so does God. He made fun. He made adventure. He made relationships. They're essential. You have to have them. But you need to pick godly ones because you need to be influenced towards living a life that is in line with God's word, living a life that pleases Him, encouraging one another, fulfilling the dreams that God's put in your heart, fulfilling the using the giftings that He's given each one of us. We're each made in the image of God. You've got to have friendships like that. Thirdly, make a covenant with your eyes. Huh. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. We can put a boy in there. I battled with this when I was your age, not to look lustfully. It was very difficult for me. The eyes are a gate. Your eyes are the closest thing, that in your mouth, to your brain. They influence the way you think. What you allow into your eyes, into your mind, is going to affect how you think. Then it's going to affect what you believe. And then it's going to change what you do. So you must be very careful what you watch. If you watch pornography, if you watch immoral movies or hot love scenes, are you going to have trouble fantasizing, masturbating, thinking of pure and holy thoughts? Yes, you will. That's the temptation. You must be careful. I was not so good at that. And then the next thing is to walk in accountability. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16 says, do you know this is what God has planned for us to help navigate these minds that we are involved in and walking through in every day of our life? We are to walk in accountable relationships with the same sex. So girls are supposed to have other girls, other sisters in the Lord, who are stronger in some areas, who love God and are believing God for the best things in their life. You need to partner yourself with a sister like that, so that when you're weak and struggling, you can have someone to talk to confess your sin to help and pray for you so that you may be healed. That's what the scripture says. We are to walk as sisters in the Lord and walk this journey together. I remember when I was struggling a lot with lustfulness and lustful looking at things that were wrong and masturbating. I remember I was on a missions team. Every day we went out on the campus and we shared the God test. And every evening we sat under an evangelist and listened to his preaching. And every day I wondered if I was saved. Every day I wondered because I knew I was battling with lust and with masturbation. Every morning I'd wake up and I'd pray and I'd ask God to forgive me. And the cycle continued until one day he showed me the scripture, James 5:16. I said, oh, no. I don't want to go down and tell the girls I'm staying with. They're going to just think this is really strange and you are really like out of it. You're just weird. And I was too afraid. But do you know what happened? One morning, I was really desperate. Do you know when you're desperate, you'll do things you won't do when you're not? I went down one morning and I was crying out to God. I was saying, God, deliver me from this lustfulness and this masturbation. I walked downstairs. I said, before I chicken out, I'm going to run in there and I'm going to tell them what I've been doing. I ran in there and I burst into the room. I said, I must confess my sin. I just have to. And so before I get afraid and leave, and I told them everything I battled with. Okay, now we're on a missions trip. Okay. We're evangelizing the campus, and I'm really battling with a lot of things. And when I did that, do you know that every single one of the women in that I said that to confessed of the exact same thing? Do you know that sin is common to us all? Okay? There'll be in some measure, we'll battle more in some areas than another. But the sins are common, okay? We are all struggling. We all need each other, another sister to walk with in accountable relationships. So we all pray together, and you know what? I was set free. Because now when I was battling and having a hard time, I'd grab my sister in the Lord, and I'd say, please, will you pray for me? I'm just battling where I'm looking with my eyes and everything else. Please help me. I don't want to fantasize. I don't want to do those things. I know they're not right for God. So you need to live in accountable relationships. Renew your mind. How in the world do you do that? You accept God's moral standard. But among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. They're improper for us. They're not what he intended in Ephesians. Do you know how what this is talking to us as ladies? What is it saying? The way we act, the way we dress, the way we speak. You are to be holy in every area, pure and holy. We are to speak edifying words, encouraging words, not lustful words, not provocative words, not trying to draw them in to something. We are to be clothed in his purity and holiness, in his word of God, which is our armor. We put that on so that we can fight this battle. Okay? It affects those areas. Just want to make sure I'm not missing anything. Okay? You have to guard your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These come out of our heart. We have to guard our heart. Let's see. I want to talk to you a little bit about dating. Dating. What do you do when you date someone? Do you guard your heart? Not really. You're creating a deeper relationship and a greater bond in dating. Of those guys over there, how many will one day somewhere, all the men in the world, okay? Your brothers over there, how many will be your husband? For those of you that want marriage. One. You don't need to give your heart to anyone else. What you do is you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. You get all the education God wants you to have. You fulfill the dreams. You focus on the Lord. He's a lamp unto your feet. And at the right time, he's going to bring Mr. Perfect around just for you. And he's perfect because he's perfect for you. And that's what I got. But you guard your heart. You must be very careful as women. You know, just to help you understand the way we are wired or made, and God, the Lord made us women, we need love, okay? In a relationship, there is a tendency, and in marriage, one of the things is women need love and men need respect, okay? But often, when you're in a relationship, women will give love, will give sex to give love, and men will give love to get sex. when you're not following God, okay? We have a great capacity to be loved. God made us that way. We're to be loved and cherished by our fathers, by our mothers, by our uncles, brothers, aunts, okay? By the sisters and the brothers in the Lord, okay? You have to be careful with that. Believe victory is possible. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man or woman. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Do you know, I love this picture. Do you see her fighting? She's taking out the sword. What's the sword? The Word of God. We are taught at church and hopefully at home to put on the full armor of God. And what do we fight with? Our sword, which is the Word of God, two-edged, able to divide the intentions of our heart and good from evil. We fight with God's Word, okay? We put on that armor. But when we've even done everything to pull on the armor of God and have the Word of God, temptation's gonna come. It will come. It will come to all of us. So what happens? God provides a way of escape. Sometimes that's turning around and running the other way. Okay? Sometimes it's not going to that party. Sometimes it's blocking someone on your cell phone. Sometimes it's not entering into a relationship with someone whose life doesn't have the fruit or the fragrance of Jesus. You've got to be discerning. You've got to trust God for the ways to navigate those times. But he will always provide a way of escape. Let's see. Fill your mind with God's word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you know that is our standard? That's our guideline. That's the rule book. That's how God made us. We hide that word in our heart, and it becomes what bubbles out of our life. It's our desires. It's what we want. It's how we live our life. Remember, the way you think is the way you believe, is the way you act. We got to put that word in there. It's our hope. It's our salvation. Do you know that when we go to battle as a nation, do they just take one soldier and drop them in that part of the battlefield and take another one and drop them in that part of the battlefield and another one, drop them over there? No. They would never survive, would they? You're not alone. You can't be alone. You're surrounded by God's people. You've got to be, they send in an army. Well, we're an army of the Lord. And he's giving us the tools and the armor we need to walk through and navigate this minefield of the society we find ourselves in. I want to just take a few minutes and have you all fill out your spiritual profiles. Would someone pass these around? Okay, but as I do that, I want to ask if there's any questions. Yes, ma'am. It's a long way away till marriage, isn't it? Are you good with temptation for years on end? Remember, you want to guard your life. It is so precious. You have lots of friendships. You have lots of fun. I tell my children, save it. Save it to when it's closer. Because it's much harder to guard your heart when you're younger and have the whole world in front of you and all the decisions of making about education, about your work and everything else. It's a while till marriage. So don't bring them too close. Have friendships, do things together, but don't single them out. It'll distract you, it'll wear out on your heart, okay? Another thing someone else asked was about crushes. What about crushes? How do we as women deal about crushes? Have you ever had a crush? I have had many, okay? And crushes are difficult. What do? Oh my goodness, that person, that guy is so amazing and wow and handsome and sporty and whatever, whatever, smart and clever and in the life of a party or whatever it is that attracts you to that person. You get with your spiritual sister, okay? And you, the Bible says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, okay? You take every thought and you pray through it, and you get your sister in the Lord to pray through it with you so that God will be glorified. God, help me. I'm your daughter. I don't want to waste my affections, my thought life on something that's not birthed from you. Help me, Lord, to focus on the things you've called me to be all the woman that you've made me to be and planned for me to be. And then you will get help for those crushes. Okay, so take a minute, fill out these spiritual profiles. Remember, safe is if you've never was and is still not a struggle. Past is it was a struggle in the past, but not anymore. Now, it is a current and recurring problem. Tick those things. Ideally, what I'd want you to do, okay, if you really got some of those things that God's showed you are sin and you want to get rid of it, take one of your sisters and go sit in a corner. Tell them what it is you struggle with. If you really want to get set free like I had to, if you don't do it now, you'll do it later. It doesn't just go away. But if you take a friend or three of you and go and say, this is what I battle with. This is what I've struggled with. Might not be a problem now, but it was in the past. Then just go in a little spot around the room and just share your sin. I'll give you about 3 minutes and then we're going to pray. Great, ladies. I think we should finish up now. Now, we're gonna pray. But if there's been a connection, and if God is really moving here, and this is some you've shared with some of the your friends, your sisters in the Lord, please keep that relationship up. Please open those lines of accountability. This is. Godliness, because the devil would want us to close and shame and guilt and hide you away. Oh, I'm so bad. What it does is it builds up walls and it separates you from God. But when you open up and share with a sister in the Lord, those walls come tumbling down. And the prayers, now that we're going to pray, are going to come in and wipe the slate clean and keep you clean and strong and confident in God. Okay? So now, I don't like praying sitting down. I mean, I know you can do that, but we're going to war, okay? We are in a battle. This is called to victory. You got to get up, and we're going to all stand up, and we're going to pray for this next portion, okay? We're going to pray through each one of these five R's. We're going to recognize, we've already done that, and identify the issues in our own life. We're going to repent. Some of you confessed your sin to one another. If you didn't get a chance to do that, repent is not just praying and repenting that way. It's got to come out of your mouth, okay? I don't care if you have to go in another part of the room because you didn't confess your sin to anyone, but you, in order to be set free, you must repent. You must verbalize it. It must come out of your mouth. It's confess with your mouth that you receive salvation, and it's also that you get healed. Okay? So you're going to repent with our mouths. We'll do it together. I'll be praying, and then I'll tell you to repent of those sins. Okay? And then we'll renounce it, rebuke it, and receive God's healing. Okay? So let's go. I want you all to pray in your prayer languages, and at the repenting time, add that. Okay? So, Lord, we just thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you that you have called us to victory. Lord, this is Victory Sunday, and we just thank you for the victory in advance that you're wanting to do in our lives. Lord, we recognize that there are areas where we fall short. We recognize there are areas that stink, that are an awful stench to you. And, Lord, we just repent. We repent of all the ways we've sinned against you. I want you to say it now. We repent of the ways that we have been immoral, that we have had immoral thoughts, lustful thoughts, patterns in our lives, texting, watching pornography, watching things that we shouldn't, not having a good eye gate. We repent for the sins that have so easily entangled us, the sins of masturbation, the sins of that we have easily fallen into. Jesus, we repent of those things. And Lord, now we renounce them. We break agreement and renounce its power over our lives. We renounce that power of any soul ties that would have been made if anyone has actually had sex, any soul ties that need to be severed and cut as a connection to that person. We ask you, Lord, to break free from these spots. We will break the agreement, the hold that it has on us. We come against it in its power. We rebuke you, demonic authorities and the evil one. We rebuke you from stealing away the precious salvation gift that we have received from Jesus, the clean sins being washed by his blood and made white as snow. We rebuke you. We rebuke your authority over us and how you have stolen away our sexuality with a perversion of the truth, with a lie of the truth. And Lord, we just receive now your blessings. We receive your word that is washing over our mind, that is a lamp unto our feet, is a guideline, is a truth. It's a moral standard for our lives. Lord, we receive your power of living a godly life that is a sweet fragrance to you each and every day and every night. Lord, we receive your blessing over us as children, as your daughters of the King. We want a blessing in our life and in our bodies, because he who sins sexually sins against their own body. We rebuke that lie in Jesus' name. We rebuke that curse. We rebuke that power, and we receive the blessings of God on our life because we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. We just thank you, Jesus, for your healing power, for your life of grace. Lord, for the lessons that we've learned today and how we need to be accountable to our sisters, how we need to treat our brothers, the men as brothers, Lord, until you show us something else. Lord, you've created us with a great calling and a great purpose. We are lovers of you, Jesus. I pray that you, Lord, Holy Spirit, would fill each and every part of our heart with your love, with your pleasure, with your appreciation, with your standard, Lord, that you would show us and shower us as your daughters with your loving power, your grace, your blessing, your joy, because there's nothing to hide. There's no shame. There's nothing that we regret, because it's all under your blood, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your life, our lives, and we thank you for the life we want to give to you as a sweet fragrance to you, Lord Jesus, our King and our Lord and our God. Amen. Now, if you have any questions, any other things, I don't want you too late for your parents. Oh, take your spiritual profiles, rip them up and throw them in here, and we're going to destroy them. They're done, okay? You've had victory. Victory is possible. You'll be able to get this on the website later. If you need to refer back to it, please read your Bible. And if you don't understand it and you don't see how it applies to your life today, ask your leaders, okay? We want to help you navigate well.